We're going to turn to God's Word now and to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we are focusing specifically just on the last two verses of the reading that Heather read for us earlier on. I'm going to read those again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 to 25. He himself, that's Jesus Christ, bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Let's pray together as we turn to God's word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that when we open this book, you speak to us, our creator, that we meet the Lord Jesus, and that your spirit, its author, is at work in our hearts. We pray that that would be happening this morning as we think about these verses and dwell more on them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So do you ever find yourself wishing that you could change? That something about you that frustrates you, that bothers you, you could shift, you could make a difference to yourself in your own life? Ever feel that frustration of just kind of feeling slightly trapped in cycles that you just want to be able to break out of, but you feel like you can't for some reason? Maybe you relate to Chris, who is a dedicated father and husband. He's a good employee. He works hard. And yet every evening he comes home and finds himself escaping into television and a couple of beers every single night. And he can't seem to break that pattern. Or maybe you relate to Charlie, a brilliant student, top of her class in everything, gets fantastic grades, and yet every time an assignment comes along, she feels this paralytic fear. She just can't start because she might not do as well as she has done before. Or then there's Sue, who serves really hard in her local church. She works hard, she's a wonderful servant, and yet she knows that deep down she just doesn't have any joy anymore in the Lord. And she wonders, how can I rekindle that? Or James, who lives with a constant background feeling of shame because every few days he turns on his phone and goes to websites he knows he shouldn't. Or maybe it's Esther, who loves her brother and sister dearly and loves to play with them, but every time they do this one thing, she just loses it and she knows she ends up hurting them with her anger. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard when we notice these patterns in our lives that we just want to break out of them somehow. And well, have you ever felt that sort of frustration of kind of wondering how on earth you can do that? The singer-songwriter Passenger wrote these words. He said, "Why can't I change after all these years? Why can't I change my ways? I find it so strange after all these years, I'm still more or less the same. Wherever I go, whatever I do, whatever I know, it just comes and goes so soon. Whatever life brings, whatever song it sings, I'm still whistling the same old tune." So what do? Do we just give up trying when it's difficult? Do we just decide that it's too hard, we can't change these things about ourselves, we're just going to have to live with it? And what would God say to us when we realize there are things about ourselves that we just want to change, see change? Well, that is a great question to be asking as we come to these verses in 1 Peter. Because in 1 Peter, we've been hearing over the last few weeks, haven't we, that Peter has been urging his readers to do good. It's there in verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 2. "Live such good lives among the pagans," he says. And then it appears again in verse 15. "It is God's will that by doing good..." And then again in verse 20, "How is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it, but if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God." And it's as though I kind of imagine the hearers of this letter, the readers of this letter going, "Well, okay, this is all very well, Peter, but how? How do we do this? How do we change? How do we live good lives like this when it's so hard? And so Peter comes to verses 24 and 25, which are kind of the center of his letter. Some people would say these verses are just kind of slightly randomly placed here. He could have ended at verse 23 and then just gone on straight on to chapter 3, verse 1. But that isn't the case. Peter is doing something very important here when he focuses back on the cross of the Lord Jesus, the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And he is giving us how change can happen. Because it is central to hear that Jesus' death has present power. Jesus' death has present power. How is that? Well, here's the first way. By bringing freedom from sin. Because the question is, what did Jesus' death achieve? And here is what Peter says in verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Which means that he bore our sins. The idea is that Jesus carried our sins. So the image is of an enormous weight, something a little bit like this. I have an enormous rucksack. And Peter's saying that our sin is like a huge weight that we have to carry around with us all the time. It weighs us down. We can't stand up straight with it because it is just so heavy. All of that attitude to God which turns away from him. Our hearts turned away from God that say, you know, to our rightful king, no, we don't want you to be our king. And actually worse, our hearts which replace God and make other things king in our lives. And all of that attitude leaves us trapped and crushed under a weight of guilt before our rightful king who we have rebelled against. We can't stand up straight in his presence. But on the cross, Peter says, Jesus bore our sin. He took it from us so that we would not need to bear it anymore. That is what Isaiah 53, that we heard read earlier, that Peter is quoting from here, tells us, that it was the Lord's will to crush Jesus on the cross so that we could be set free. What does that mean? That means that if you trust in the Lord Jesus, you do not need to feel guilt. You do not need to carry around the weight of your sin and wrongdoing anymore. You can go to sleep free of it. You can wake up in the morning free of it, knowing that the Lord has already allowed your punishment to fall on the Lord Jesus, and he does not punish sin twice. And what is the effect of that? What is the purpose? Why is God doing that? Well, have a look at verse 24 again. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins. So that we might die to sin. It's as though we have a look at sin and all of the different things that sin kind of does to us. It whispers lies to us. It makes promises to us. Tells us we can have this, we can have that. And then all of a sudden it is exposed for the fraud that it is. You can picture sin a little bit like a character in a film. Maybe the White Witch or Mother Gothel. I hope pictures of those will come up on the screen in a moment to remind you who they are. The White Witch who whispers promises to Edmund, you can be a king. Mother Gothel who whispers to Rapunzel, you're my daughter. But then at some point during both of those stories, they are exposed for the lies that they tell. And neither Edmund nor Rapunzel will have anything to do with them. They won't go near them anymore. And that is what it means for us to be dead to sin. To see sin for what it is, and so that we will not go near it. See its lies and turn away from it. That is what the Lord Jesus' death is meant to accomplish for us in our lives. Jesus' death has present power. And that is definitely worth reflecting on. But you know, the wonderful thing is that the Lord Jesus' death did not just remove sin and then kind of leave us to it. There's something more here to say. Jesus' death has present power, secondly, because it brings us freedom for righteousness. Again, verse 24, he bore our sins in his body so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. So here is God's big purpose for you as you trust in the Lord Jesus. His big purpose is to give you a whole new life. Which brings a question. Do you hear that as good news? When Peter says he's died on the cross so that you would die to sin, that sounds like wonderful news, doesn't it? Does it sound like good news when he says, so that you will also live to righteousness? Or do you actually hear Peter saying, he's taken one burden away and now he has laid another one on you? He's laid on a burden of living for righteousness. It's easy to start thinking that way, isn't it? But we need to hear that this is double good news. This is the good news of sin removed and freedom to live the life we were designed to live. Imagine someone who needs a heart transplant. A man who needs a heart transplant, and he is desperately unwell. His heart is failing. It can't pump blood around his body properly, which leaves him unable to do almost anything. He's breathless just on getting up out of a chair. He can't really walk around his house, let alone up the stairs or outside to go to the shops or something as normal as that. And then one day the call comes. The transplant is here. It's ready. You can have the transplant. So he goes into hospital. He has the operation. The heart is transplanted. He has a new, healthy heart beating inside his body. He recovers whilst he's in hospital. He goes home and he's told, you know, take it easy for the first 6 weeks or so, but then after that, just gradually build up your exercise. He goes to see his doctor a year later. And his doctor finds out that he's still absolutely terrified. He won't leave the house. He won't go upstairs. He's just petrified that he might do something that causes problems. And the doctor says, no, you have a new heart. Go and live. Do the things that you've been longing to do. I was chatting to a new Christian just the other day who told me that during her life, she'd spent all sorts of time kind of searching for freedom from all sorts of things in all sorts of places, whether it be yoga and meditation and Buddhism and recreational drugs and all sorts of other things. And she told me, no, but then I found the Lord Jesus. And I found what I was looking for. A new heart, which means that she can go and live. That is God's plan and purpose for us. And if you want proof that that is what God is planning for you in your life, then you need look no further than the cross itself. How can we know that God is committed to change in our hearts, in our lives? The answer is Jesus died to win that change. He rose to effect that change, to make it real in our lives. Jesus' death has present power. And that is definitely worth reflecting a little bit more on. But you know, Peter has one more angle for us on the cross and the power to bring change in our life that it wields. And this is it. Thirdly, Jesus' death has present power because it brings us freedom to follow. Have a listen to verse 25. Peter says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." So Peter takes one of the most famous Bible images, doesn't he? The picture of the sheep, the lost sheep that has gone astray. And the point is, of course, that when a sheep is lost, it's done for. There's no hope for a lost sheep. It can't find its way back. The only hope for this lost sheep is that it will be found and brought back. And Peter says, we are like those sheep, and we have been found, and we have been brought back to this shepherd. The shepherd who went to the cross, through the grave, and burst out of the grave on that first Sunday, Easter Sunday morning. That is the shepherd that we have been brought back to. And it is there that there is great power to bring change in our hearts. This shepherd who bore our sin, who healed our wounds, like the man with the heart transplant. He is now the same one who leads us, because that's what a shepherd does for sheep, who guides us, who protects us, who is the overseer, the guardian of our very souls. And so Peter has an invitation for us. Jesus has an invitation to us, speaking through his servant Peter. And it's simply, will you come to me for change? Will you come to the Lord Jesus for the change that you crave in your life? What might that look like? Well, think about Chris. As he sees that alcohol and television simply will not provide the rest that he craves, but the shepherd who calls him can give it to him. Charlie, who realizes those marks that she craves in her the grades that she craves in her assignments hold no power over her because God has already given the final verdict. No guilt. Sin dealt with. Sue, who serves the Lord, sees the cross and notices the freedom from sin and the freedom for righteousness that brings, and her heart is filled with joy. James, who feels that shame, can come to the cross and know no shame and know the power to go and live with a new heart. And Esther, who feels attacked by her brothers and sisters or feels she wants to gain control over them, can know that the shepherd she can follow, if she would come to him, is the one who will guard her and keep her close and keep her safe. I wonder, what is it for you? How is it that the Lord Jesus can have present power through his death in your life even today? He invites you, come to me for change. Do you want it? Jesus' death has present power for you. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we praise you for this unbelievable gift, the Lord Jesus in his death and his resurrection, given to us as our shepherd and overseer, that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. Lord, please would you help us to taste that freedom and know the power that can bring us change, real change in our lives. We pray that you would do that for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.